Hello, welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, some LQ updates. A little overdue, but LQ Radio is finally getting off the ground. The first LQ Radio show should be available later this month, and the first LQ Radio interview has already been posted. If you didn't automatically get the interview, you may only be subscribed to the LQ Podcast RSS feed and not the LQ Radio feed. If this is the case, make sure to check out the interview and head over to radio.linuxquestions.org and sign up for both feeds. The first interview featured Tom Adelstein and Sam Heiser. We cover a variety of topics, including an in-depth look at the Sun Linux strategy, current trends in the Linux market, thoughts on both Novell and Red Hat, thoughts on Linux OEM preloads, the importance of open document formats, Linux in emerging areas, open sourcing OS2, Linux standards, and much more. Total running time is just over an hour and 15 minutes. I'd like to thank both Tom and Sam for taking the time to be the first guests. I'm also happy to say that the second LQ Radio interview will be posted either late this week or early next week, and the featured guest will be Doc Sarles. We also recently posted an email interview with Mandriva founder Gal Duval over at LQ. The interview covers the company's recovery from Chapter 11, the recent merger of Mandrake Soft and Connectiva and the resulting Mandriva name, the Linux Core Consortium, and his take on the fact that Munich selected a non-commercial distro. He also expands on an earlier comment that he made about Linux on the desktop. There are only 10 days left in the current LQ contest. If you don't know about the contest yet, visit linuxquestions.org to find out how to win one of three great LQ t-shirts. I also want to give an update on the progress of the 3,000 article goal for the LQ Wiki. The current article count is 2,344. So while we have made progress, we still do have a ways to go. If you have any spare time and would like to help, head on over to the LQ Wiki and jump right in. That's wiki.linuxquestions.org. Also, a reminder that LQ is a sponsor of the upcoming Linux World New York Summit being held at the Marriott in NYC on May 25th and 26th. The Linux World New York Summit conference program is designed to provide a comprehensive set of conference sessions that offer attendees specific, focused education about Linux and open source technologies. The program has been built to help business and technology professionals further leverage Linux and open source strategies and deployments in their existing and future infrastructure. Now, on to the news. The first story is Deception and Texarkana, and is from NewsForge. It's unfortunate to see both the open source community and a small town taken advantage of like this. Basically, Jason Macer of OSIHosting.net created an elaborate story that was basically a lie about grandiose plans for a hosting facility in the chronically depressed city of Texarkana. I'll defer you to the article for the gory details, which includes a lengthy interview with Jason and Robin. Kudos to Robin Rablimo both for taking the time to do the reporting for this article and for having the patience and fortitude to be able to have a discussion that long with someone who is clearly lying and pandering. It's a reminder that just because someone uses the words open source, it doesn't make them right or necessarily good-intentioned. The next story, Firefox is still taking back the web and has now hit 50 million downloads, which is absolutely amazing. If you aren't using Firefox yet, you really should try it out, regardless of what OS you are using. Keep up the good work, Firefox team. In the next story, Microsoft reaches out to the open source community. It appears that Microsoft is, in fact, reaching out to the open source community. Well, my immediate response was something along the lines of, what are they up to now? After reading the entire article, which is available on the eWeek site, and thinking about it for a bit, I think they may be genuinely interested this time. Why? First, the culture over there has slowly been changing. And with a company the size of Microsoft, this may take a long time, but this is a change that's coming from the inside out. That is, developers within the company are leading the drive. I've talked to numerous Microsoft employees at recent conferences and conventions, and a few of them really did seem to get it, which is encouraging. Second, I think at a higher up level, they are starting to realize that, from a business perspective, it's in their best interest to cooperate at this point, at least a little bit. And it's not that I expect full cooperation. I'm, you know, fairly sure that might never happen. But I think they've realized that they are not going to be able to squash this open source thing as easily as they probably thought they could in the beginning. This might finally be a case where cooperating may help them ship more units, and it appears that they might be willing to do just that. I guess it's probably the middle tier in the company that will be the last to understand all this, but isn't that what you would expect? The other thing that made me think it might be legitimate is that it wasn't from Ballmer or Gates, you know, in kind of a soapbox type thing. It was their general counsel, their lead attorney. And usually when an attorney makes a statement for a company like that, it is something that's genuine. So, in the end, I would welcome open dialogue. I've seen some people say this is just a knee-jerk reaction to Microsoft uncharacteristically missing their Wall Street projections. While that is possible, I'd say that it's fairly unlikely. Microsoft traditionally doesn't do too many things in a knee-jerk fashion. They don't have to. Even when they completely miss the boat, say like they did with the internet, they don't panic. They do an about-face and get to work. They have enough cash at this point that they still don't have to worry about much. Now, don't get me wrong. We absolutely have to proceed with extreme caution here. I'd say forgive, but don't forget is the way to go. But I seem to be a little bit less skeptical on this one than most. One final note. If anyone from Microsoft is listening, if you really do want to extend an olive branch here, how about proving that you are serious this time? Opening up document format would be an outstanding start. And if anyone from Microsoft wants to reach out to the open source community and speak with me, I would be more than happy to do that. The end sentence about open document formats is a great segue into our last story. Oasis open document format for Office applications has been approved. Oasis recently announced that the open document format for Office document applications, called Open Document, version 1.0 specification has been approved. The open document format is intended to provide an open alternative to proprietary document formats, including the popular .doc, .xls, and .ppt formats used by Microsoft Office. I've covered the importance of open documents formats before. The new standard will be the default in OpenOffice.org 2, and support is already in the latest KOffice beta. No word when or if Microsoft will support the standard, but they are an Oasis sponsor. Now that the spec is a standard, let's hope that we get some quick adoption here, especially in government, where open document formats is especially important. Using an open document standard has many, many advantages, most importantly, allowing you guaranteed access to your data and avoiding vendor lock-in. That's all I have for now. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you like the LQ podcast, please head over to podcastalley.com and vote for us. Thanks.